Welcome to this podcast by the Caboolture Gospel Church. For more information about us, head to www.caboolturechurch.com.au.
Series on generosity, Nights of Generosity. And who's enjoyed the series? Yeah, it's good, eh? I was, just before we get started, a few of us were doing some work at my place on Saturday, doing some work on the deck and some pretty hard work. And I woke up this morning and my muscles reminded me of what I'd been doing. I couldn't move, my legs were sore. I came into Dan in the morning and I said, "Dan, are you feeling the same?" And he said, "Yeah." He was a bit sore and his back was a bit sore. And it's interesting that when we do something physical or exert ourselves, our muscles remind us the next day of what we did. Yeah? And I was having this thought and I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could send a text on Monday morning and say, "My muscles are reminding me what I did in church yesterday." Wouldn't it be good if there was maybe just one time there was that much passion, that much excitement, maybe there was just that sense of just excitement and passion with what God was doing. Maybe it was a high five. Maybe it was jumping up and down. Who knows what it was, but let's not put any joints out. But maybe it would just be a little niggle that tells us we had a good time in church yesterday. And I got Sammy and Haley here. They're from the youth group, actually. So they give us a real workout on Fridays because we do jump around and we also help Neil out. We clean his sound system out. We get all the cobwebs out of the speakers on Fridays. And Hank might be able to vouch for this. On Fridays, him and Laney don't need to turn on the radio. We provide the music for them over dinner. And we really give it a good crank. And it's good. It's good to jump around. It's good to just be passionate about God. And wouldn't that be great if we just woke up tomorrow morning and, oh, the hammy's a bit, not because we exerted ourselves, but because we had a good time in church. I think that would be good. Tonight, the series is on generosity. I'm sort of not strictly going to speak on that. I am, but I'm not. There is a link, but I've taken liberty to sort of deviate a little bit from it. But the purpose tonight is I really feel that God is speaking something to us tonight. He spoke it to me about 4 weeks ago. And I've heard these preachers that say when they read the Bible, there's a passage that is like highlighted to them. And I never really understood that. They've said that they read a passage and it's like the words are in bold or they just jump out them. I sort of understood that, but it was really when I was reading this passage, it's like God grabbed me by the throat. He slapped me around a bit in a good way, and I really got heaps out of it, and I really believe that he's speaking something to us as young people, as young adults, as older people as well. He's speaking something to us that will really form the next season of us and what we're doing in this community, changing the community, impacting the community. I believe right now is a season where he wants to get some things in our foundation, and I'm excited about that. This is still probably a little bit in seed form in the way that Josh said last week when he preached on generosity, he feels a little bit awkward standing up here when God's just convicted him and challenged him on a lot of stuff. I'm the same. I'm standing up here with this passage in seed form and in initial stages because I don't believe it's fully outworked in my life. But nonetheless, I believe God wants to speak to us tonight. And if you open your heart, if you allow the Holy Spirit, who is here to encourage, to teach us, we might just look back on this night and say, there was something that God spoke to me in that service that changed the direction of my life. Sometimes we have messages or sermons or something and they've been marinating a long time in us. And that might not be the case here, but I hope that you'll grab something. I hope that it'll be like that seed that'll just lodge inside you, continue to irritate you, because I really believe that God wants to not only give us more information, but he wants to give us revelation, something that hits us down deeper, something that changes us, something that defines our destiny. And I believe that'll happen tonight. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. It'll come up on the screen shortly. This passage of scripture that I'd read before, and I just want to share a few thoughts from it. Okay, this is a true story. This is from the Bible. This happened roughly 2,000 years ago, and it starts like this. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out it a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled for the partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee's, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Let me just pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's not just words that is written in a book. God, we thank you that there's life as you come and you speak to us. We thank you that you're alive. We thank you that you're real. We're just looking for you tonight to touch our hearts, to put your fingerprint on our lives, that we might be different, that we might impact our community, that we might glorify your name. Amen. Amazing passage of scripture. First of all, just let me unpack this story, because for some of us that have heard it before, you're all sitting there going, "What's the big deal?" But this, Jesus is there with a crowd of people. He's talking to them. There's a huge crowd, and all of a sudden he notices there's a couple of boats there. When he's finished speaking, he jumps in one of the boats owned by Simon, and he says, "How about we go over there and throw the nets out and see what we can catch?" And Simon, he's 30-odd years old. His occupation is fishing. When we think of fishing, we think of digging up a few worms in the backyard and going over to Bribie and trying our luck off the wharf. But this wasn't what these guys did. Their occupation was fishing. Ever since Simon could crawl, ever since he could walk, he was on a boat, he was a fisherman. And he says to Jesus, he says, "We've been fishing all night, we've been throwing out these nets, pulling them back in, throwing them out all night, we've caught nothing. We haven't even caught driftwood." That's pretty ordinary if you can't catch even some rubbish in the lake. He's caught nothing. The amazing thing is that these guys, like I said, this wasn't a hobby of theirs. This was their occupation. This was their life. People often know when real fishermen come into a building, when they come near to you, their hands smell like fish. Have you ever shaken hands with a fisherman? Their hands smell like fish. But for Simon, his whole body smelled like fish. He lived, breathed this stuff. Even if you invited him to your wedding, no soap would get the smell off. He would come up, you would be able to smell the stench. It was in his beard, it was in his hair, it was in his skin. Dead fish, alive fish, whatever they smell like, that's what he smelled like. He was a trained man. He knew what he was doing. He had spent his life studying, being a disciplined person on how to catch fish. And here Jesus comes along, this spiritual guy who's just been talking to the people and says, how about we give this fishing thing a go? How about we go over there and throw out your nets? Simon, being probably a fairly smart guy, he looks at the crowd following Jesus and he has an amount of respect for him. He says, okay, it's not going to be far to take the boat over. We'll throw the nets out. That'll be it. And the story, we know that he throws the nets out and all of a sudden, the thing that they'd been doing all night, throwing him out, pulling him, all of a sudden, there's a bit of weight on the end of this net. Till he has to call his mates and they have to come and help out. I find there's something ironic in this story that there's a change in Simon's view on life, his motivation, his thinking, in I reckon about 10 or 15 minutes. He goes from this guy who has dreamt, slept, and all his hopes were based on catching fish, to a guy that ultimately walks away from two boats full of fish. Simon would have dreamt for the day that he would be able to pull his boats up on the shore and say, I've got two boats full of fish. That would have been the pinnacle of his occupation. That would have been the pinnacle of his work. He would have only ever dreamt of this day when he'd get such a catch of fish that he'd be able to land two boats onto the shore full of fish. We know they were literally full because the boats started to sink. You can just imagine the boats sitting there. The fish are still flapping around, jumping out, whatever. There's two boats full. And what does he do? He turns around and walks the other way. This is ironic. Have a think about this. This bloke's dream for his whole life, and he walks away from it. Here he is. He's got this dream right in his grasp. It's right there on the beach, and he walks away. The reason he walked away was this miracle that Jesus did actually pointed him to something more than the miracle itself. This miracle of these two boats full of fish actually pointed him to the person of Jesus. It pointed him directly to Jesus, that all of a sudden, for the first time, he was able to see maybe there's more than catching fish. Maybe there's more. It's amazing to think, it's just ironic to read this passage and see his actions and the other guy's actions. There was no discussion about whether they should follow Jesus. They all got up, left their boats, left everything, and followed him. How many times is those of here tonight that are followers of Jesus, that are Christians, how many times do we receive God's blessing and then camp around that? This so challenged me. That oftentimes we're praying, we're believing for God to do some awesome stuff in our lives and the lives of other people around. But so many times when God pours out his blessing on us, we camp around that. It's ironic to think that Peter, even though Simon, even though it was a supernatural thing from God, he didn't stay there and celebrate. He turned and he followed Jesus. The very fact, like Josh said last week, the very fact that you're breathing right now means that God has poured out his blessing and mercy on you. It says in Colossians that our bodies are held together by the very word and the hand of God. If it wasn't for God right now, I would be a pile of jelly on the floor. It's by his word. It says everything is held together by him. If you're wondering about the existence of God, whether God loves you, check your pulse. If you can feel something, ask your neighbor next to you, am I alive? You might be asleep, but you'll still be alive. And that's great. But it's God's blessing in our life, even at the most simple extent that we're still taking breath, sucking in breath in our lungs, that God is good and that he's blessed us. And so often we can get captured with the blessings of God and this amazing generosity that he pours out on us, that we don't actually move into our destiny. And Simon could have stayed there with his mates and camped around two boats full of fish because God had supernaturally provided that for him. But he didn't. He left and he followed Jesus. And why did he follow Jesus? It says here in verse 10. It says, then Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men. From now on you will go and you'll preach the gospel to humanity, to men and women. From now on it won't be a fish issue. It'll be a man, women, humanity issue. The thing driving you now will be humanity in their lost state. We know that Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. And that was what Simon was following. He was following the master who was going around to seek and save humanity who was lost. I wonder how many times as the church, I wonder how many times as us as individuals, how many times we've camped around the blessing of God, the generous nature of our Father, and instead of allowing it to point us to Jesus, we've stopped and we've never moved on from the blessing. There's nothing wrong with the blessing. The generous heart of God is awesome. But how many times do we stop? We congregate around two boatfuls full of fish. Meanwhile, the fish is rotten. It's gone. But yet we still stay around the fish instead of following Jesus. Jesus is long gone. It was such a challenge to me because oftentimes we're believing for God to do supernatural things, healings, financial things in people's life, relational breakthroughs. And if those answers to prayer don't point us to Jesus, then potentially we're just celebrating around blessings without being the catapult into our destiny. Simon let the fish, the thing that he turned his back on, he followed Jesus rather than chasing these dreams and desires that he always had. It catapulted him into his destiny, the bigger picture. Have you ever felt that you're celebrating around something that's a bit old? Have you ever felt like what we do in the name of church or even our own experience with God is a bit dry, it's a bit old, it's a bit dead? Maybe it's because we're staying and congregating around things that were meant to actually launch us into our destiny, not become the focal point. We'll just get the music team to come up now. We're just going to worship God in a few moments. But if God's given you an ability, He's given a gift, He's poured out a gift on your life, maybe it's the gift of preaching. Maybe it's the gift of talking to people. Let's not be those who just crowd around this gift on somebody's life of teaching without it launching us into the real purpose and our real destiny, which is like to do what Jesus did, which was to seek and save those who are lost. Maybe your gift is singing, worship, playing the guitar, playing the drums, whatever it is. That's awesome, and it's so good to use our abilities for God, but let's not get caught around these things, these blessings of God. Let's let them propel us to Him, which is to seek and save those who are lost. Let me continue to, I'll share a little bit more, but have a think about that. Just have a think about the fact that it would have been perfectly right for Simon to camp around the blessing of God, but he chose to pursue his destiny. He chose to follow Jesus. He chose to put everything aside and follow his true destiny, which was to reconcile humanity to God. Tonight, none of us are here by accident. It's not by accident that you've stumbled into the church. When I was reading through this passage, I had to laugh. I got to verse 6, and it says that when they had thrown their nets out, their nets began to break. And I said to God, really, was that necessary? Was it really necessary to break these guys' nets? They fished all night. They'd probably thrown those nets out 1,000 times. If they would have went and thrown out at once and caught 5 fish, that would have been a supernatural miracle. Was it necessary to break their nets? Then I read further on and it says that they had to signal to their mates to bring another boat. I said, God, was it really necessary to involve 2 boats? If there was just 1 boat that could handle the net of the catch of fish, that would have been a supernatural miracle. Was it really necessary to have to involve 2 boats? And then I read down and I said, and the 2 boats began to sink. God, is it really necessary that you sink 2 boats, 2 perfectly good boats, or Nelly sink them? I think it's the heart of the Father. I think it's the heart of God that says, this is who I am. I'm a generous God. When I'm going to pour out my generosity, my giving, my blessing on someone, you're not going to be able to comprehend it. You're not going to be able to handle it. It probably would have meant just as much to them if they caught 12 fish. But it wouldn't have been the same for God, because that's not who He is. He's generous. He's radically generous. He's like generosity on steroids. We see there's another story in the Bible about Jesus multiplying food. And we see that there's a couple of fish and a couple of bread rolls, and all of a sudden He feeds 10,000 people and there's 20 baskets left over. Was that really necessary? What about the waste? Did Jesus not know how many people were there, but He could multiply food? Was it really necessary? But it's just the heart of the Father. He's a generous God. And then 2,000 years ago, He showed us the ultimate generosity when He held nothing back. He had a rescue plan for humanity. He could have chosen to do it in various ways, but He sent His very best. He sent His Son. He sent Jesus to earth to become a man, to live, to die, to pay the penalty for our sin. Was that really necessary? Maybe you're worth it. Maybe this is who God is. He's a radical, generous Father that loves us. Just as we sing a few songs and worship Him before we finish up, if you've never experienced the generosity of God, if you've never, you don't know Jesus, you've never experienced Him living on the inside of you, maybe you're not sure if your sins are forgiven, maybe you're not sure right now if you died whether you'd be in heaven, I want to give you an invitation shortly to make the best decision you'll ever make that will change your life. Quite a few years ago, someone gave me this opportunity and it changed my life. God is real. He's a Father that wants you. Let's just close our eyes. Just before we sing, if that's you and you say, I've never made a decision for Jesus, or maybe it's been a while since I've come back and I've made that decision, I just want you to shoot your hand up. We're going to pray just before we go. And if that's you and you want to do that tonight, that would be awesome. Just quickly before we go, just say, yes, I want to receive Jesus. I want Jesus in my heart. Just raise your hand so I can see it. We'll include you in a prayer. And you got to open the door. He's here. He's knocking. Tonight He wants you to open your life to Him. He wants to pour in that generosity, His very Son that died so that you might be forgiven, so that you can stand right before God, so that when, if you die, you know that you're going to heaven. If that's you, just raise your hand and we'll pray quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we come tonight. We come with open hands, open lives. We thank you that just like Simon in this story, when you said, come and follow me, you're saying that to all of us here tonight. And tonight, some of us are going to make defining decisions that will change the direction and the course of our lives tonight. We say yes to you, Father. We've seen the miraculous things you've done in our lives. We've seen the generosity that you've poured out. But we choose not to stand and celebrate and let that become our identity, but we choose to see you and to follow you into our destiny, which is to show humanity, to show our town who Jesus is. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise in this place. We honor you because you're the one that started all this. You're the one that initiated all this. We can't take any credit for it. It's a work of you. It's a work of your Holy Spirit. Let's all stand together as we just worship Him now. Just let your heart deep down inside, whatever you're experiencing right now, just let your heart speak to God as we worship in these songs.
You have been listening to a podcast by the Caboolture Full Gospel Church. We hope you have enjoyed it. For more information, head to www.caboolturechurch.com.au.